Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Higher Dimensions. You're listening to BBS Radio, your best and favorite channel, our station, I should say, of the Internet. And we are bringing tonight a guest who is a very lovely lady who is from my sort of area of the woods in near Washington, D.C., Marguerite Manning. Marguerite is an astrologer. She's a mom as well. And it's very hard. I think somehow it's cheating when you can have astrology and be a psychic and have kids. They don't have a chance to get one over on you. But Marguerite is a professional astrologer and a freelance author. She gives advice. She has group seminars on comic astrology, and she's had written an article that appeared in the Mountain Astrologer. She has written a book called Cosmic Karma, Understanding Your Contract with the Universe, and she approaches astrology from a spiritual standpoint, as though it is your spiritual contract that you should be able to read once you can unlock the mysteries. Now, I've read her book. I'll be honest with you. I'm somewhat dyslexic, so I have a difficult time sometimes understanding astrology and things that are layered. But as I told her, I think she should call it Astrology for Dummies or Astrology for Idiots, because I could understand it, and I felt very pleased I could. Anyway, welcome to our show, Margaret.
Thank you. Thank you very
Margaret,
much,
I should say.
Billy.
Yes.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're quite welcome. And I'd like you to tell the people a little bit about yourself, how you became involved in the astrology aspect. And remember, this is a live show, so people can call in. I'm reminding people
okay.
of doing so. Go ahead.
Well, I've always had a passion for the heavens and the stars, and mm-hmm. eventually in that passion took me to astrology. And
mm-hmm.
that came about in understanding that in the very beginning, astrology and astronomy were one science. The ancients practiced them as one
mm-hmm.
complete science.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a reason for that. And I found out as I started to get into it is because they are.
Okay.
You need astrology to understand. You know, astronomy is very much like, it's like a meteorologist practicing.
Mm-hmm.
He would not turn around and just, you know, study the way the weather patterns work and then not give that information to us as to how
mm-hmm.
that affects us down here on Earth.
Right.
And that's exactly what astrology is. Astronomy is the study of how the celestial objects move and the heavens
mm-hmm.
work as a whole, the universe
mm-hmm.
works as a whole.
Right.
And astrology is how those movements and those workings affect us down here on planet Earth. So you can understand how one would go hand in hand with the other.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to find out how the universe works, but it's even more important to find out how it affects us when it does. And that's what led me to
mm-hmm.
my passion for astrology and realizing that you're right, it does have its advantages being a mother in any phase of life. It's not so much cheating, it's just kind of feeling like you have a little bit more understanding of the universe. And there's so much to understand, it's only a very little bit.
Well, I also do happen to know a little bit that in the medieval ages and even before, astrology was also linked with health care, and that no self-respecting physician would dare to forget to do a chart on his patients.
Well, you know, Phyllis, in those days, most physicians were astronomers as well,
right?
And that's the reason why.
Right.
It was a science, and
mm-hmm.
It's not treated as like that today. It's not treated.
Right.
It's more in the occult and considered
right.
voodoo and something that
mm-hmm.
people just do not want to take seriously. But it really is. It's a science. There's more math
mm-hmm.
and astrology than sometimes there is in astronomy. And,
yeah,
and
I can believe that.
It, just as much. I should say just as much. But
right.
it is definitely a science. And that's what
mm-hmm.
That's what's the most beneficial thing to me and the most rewarding thing about practicing it,
mm-hmm.
it in this way, from the spiritual aspect, is that it does feel like a science.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, and it's only through my own readings, like Nostradamus, and I have to love history. It's my passion that
mm-hmm.
I understand this. But I'm slightly dyslexic, so when we start talking about different things,
mm-hmm.
And you get into numerology and numbers like that, I find that I have a sort of downside, and I think it's hereditary for me.
Well, I think when it comes to these type of things, unless people
mm-hmm.
are studying them or they are a passion,
mm-hmm.
I think most people feel that way about astrology, and they find it difficult, and numerology, and
uh-huh.
I think that if we look at the universe
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. entirely and as a whole. We'll
right.
find out sometime, you know, when we've evolved to be a better species, we'll
right.
find out that all of these things are connected on some level.
Well, I agree.
And, and the universe vibrates to every
yes.
one of them.
Yes.
You know?
I know that because of my studies outside of this. And we already have a caller. Welcome
oh.
to BBS Radio and the Higher Dimensions. Who's calling? Hello? Oh, there may be somebody calling in from another line. I'm sorry. We're going to forget that.
That's okay.
Sometimes when somebody calls on my business, second business line, it beeps like that. I apologize. So go ahead and let us know much more. You live in Fredericksburg, which is a glorious town.
It is. It's a very beautiful town. It's not far from the Washington, D.C. metro area.
I know. Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
a really lovely town, and it's a nice place to live, and it's a nice place to meet people, and it's a nice place to travel, too.
Absolutely.
And
one of my favorite places.
Is it? You live in the Washington, D.C. metro
yes.
area?
Oh, in D.C. itself.
Oh, that's nice, too. That's
I was born and
beautiful
raised
city.
Here.
Beautiful city, Washington, D.C., one of my favorites.
Oh, thank you. Well,
and if you love history, if you have a passion for history, that's the place to be.
Oh, yes. Well, yes. And Virginia, my family's Virginian, too, and a few other places around the equator. At any rate, so you grew into this, and you pursued it on your own, or was
well,
there a family?
Practicing astrology. When I started practicing astrology, mm-hmm. I started to realize that I had a lot of much more success, and it was much more immediate when I started to counsel the soul that emerged in the birth chart versus the person
okay.
who was sitting directly across from me.
Okay. Now,
and whether it was my children, whether it was clients, it
mm-hmm.
didn't seem to matter. It just made me realize. By looking at the spiritual end of the birth chart and the karmic end of it, it made me realize that, you know, we think our egos are running the show down here on planet Earth, but very often they've turned the driving over to the soul, and our souls, unfortunately, are very indiscriminate. They like anything familiar, no matter whether it's a person, a situation, or a wound.
Well,
and
that's
so
psychology.
As a result, they gravitate toward what's familiar, not necessarily what's best for us, and not necessarily what's
exactly.
on the game plan or what's on the schedule for today. And I think that's what messes us up. We
okay.
turn around and when we lead with our, when we let our soul do the driving,
uh-huh.
keeping in mind that the soul has a penchant for cruise control in the rearview mirror,
mm.
that's where we end up, in a deja vu ditch. You know, we're
okay.
back where we were eons ago, struggling with the same lessons. And if you notice, there's some people in this world that just seem to thrive happily and move ahead and don't seem
mm-hmm.
to have these type of problems, and whether they're doing it, you know, whether they come to the realization or it's just an unconscious
mm-hmm.
thing, they are the people who, in my mind, are not letting their soul do the driving. They're living up to their birth energies because they've come down here and they're following the road signs and they're meeting their destiny. They're living up to their contract. They're living up to their birth energies.
Okay.
And quite often we get tied up in good old yesterday and we forget that we do have a future down here.
I have to agree that very often we do get tied up in the past. Now, this sounds like a valid beat.
A genuine caller?
a
bona fide caller?
is that true? Is there someone
yes.
on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, who's here? Who's,
this is Julia.
Yes, I'm here.
It's Julia from Maryland.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Fine. Have you got a question for our lovely Marguerite?
Well, I was really intrigued when she said she counseled the soul, and I would be interested to hear what she could, what insight she could share with me.
What's your name again?
Julia.
Hi, Julia. I think that, you know, it's very interesting that counseling the soul, I find, is very, very rewarding because I think, you know, in my research, when more people will tell you that they don't believe that they have a soul. That most, but 98% of the people that I've spoken to believe that there's a spirit within them that
oh,
makes
yeah.
them different than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a soul is. Those same people, a lot of them don't believe they believe in karma. But again, 98% of them believe in heaven or hell, and that's an afterlife for the soul. That's
mm-hmm.
karma and that's reincarnation. If
right.
you believe in any accountability for the spirit that walks this planet, then you believe in karma,
mm-hmm.
and you believe in reincarnation. And my belief in the way I practice astrology is that prior to coming into this existence, we have a soul that keeps coming back and has lived many times before, will live many times again because this is a journey. Just as we have to go through many different stages in school, from kindergarten all the way up through college, each one of these lifetimes, I believe, is another learning process. And mm-hmm. unfortunately, when I can figure out what the soul has promised to do once it came down here to this incarnation, it's just a matter of redirecting it onto that path of what it said, your chosen birth energies, your energies in the sky, is a universal map of what the birth energies at the moment of your birth, of what the soul promised it would do once it got here. And the reason that is the case, think of it as prior to coming into this existence, the soul chooses exactly what lessons it wants to learn, poverty 101, relationships 203, mm-hmm. and this is all set up and specific energies are chosen. The minute the cosmos or the universe moves into those energies that the soul chose, your soul reports down here for earthly duty, and that's your birth. To this day, physicians cannot figure out what starts the labor process for a woman. They know how it starts. They know how the birth process starts.
Uh-huh.
But they cannot tell you what particular chemical in the body or hormone triggers, you know, why it starts at a specific time that it does.
They're just beginning to find that out, by the way, believe it or not.
Right, right. And my belief is that we look at it backwards. We're coming into this. This is our birth is not an accident. It's a spiritual agenda that our soul signed up for.
I agree wholeheartedly. Do you also go along with that, Julie?
Yes, definitely.
I'm
right there with you.
Julie, what time of the year were you born?
What time of day was
that? What time of the year? Like which month, what day?
Oh, September 16th.
Okay, so just for a page out of the book, what that would tell me, and that's what it tells me about your sun sign, is your karmic degree. Whatever constellation the sun was moving through at the moment of someone was born is, based on this type of astrology, is what your soul mastered in its most previous life. That's why you're so good at finding flaws, finding what's wrong, fixing things that are physically wrong, Julie, is because you learned how to spot them. We can't see them. You can. This is your universal degree. You know how to physically fix the physical flaws of mankind. And you could, so guess what? Unfortunately, you see them. And then everybody else finds you to be a know-it-all, and you've always got to find the problems. You turn around, you put your hand on your hip, and you say, you know what? I have a degree in it. That's what I'm here for.
Oh, my.
I love that.
But that's it. That's why our sun sign isn't difficult. So when people think that that's all there is to astrology,
uh-huh.
That's what we earn. So of course we can feel those characteristics and exude them and reflect them without even thinking. Like any degree, they're ours to keep. They resonate in our soul because we've learned them, just as if we acquired a teaching degree or a medical degree. But what did you say, Julia, you were going to do with that degree? And that's the time of day you were born. Where was that sun position in relationship to the earth at the moment you were born? That tells me what you promised to do with that degree. And that's where your joy comes from. Not living up to the energies of your sun sign. That's easy. You could do that in your sleep, and you probably do. But what did you say you were going to do with that degree? And it would be like anyone who's wasting any kind of education or not living up to the potential of their degree. They're not happy.
It's true.
See, that's something that I'm curious about, because I was born at home, and nobody is sure what time I was actually born. They told me that the Mighty Mouse cartoon was on.
So, wait, what?
Yeah, of all things,
a Mighty Mouse cartoon that was very early in the morning then, I'll bet. About 7 a.m.
See, that's just it. I contacted like a local library for them to look up the microfiche of the day I was born to find out what the TV schedule was.
Well, there are ways astrologers can figure out, go back to very, very near the time that you were actually born, Julia. So if you're ever really serious about getting an astrologer to do that, that can be done. But there's so much more, there's so many other things too. That's a very, very significant part of your contract. I don't want to minimize that. So if you can find that out, that will help you tremendously. But there are other parts of the contract that are important to your soul as well, where your soul promised that it would learn its lesson and become a grown-up in this life, evolve to the next level. And we all know being a grown-up isn't easy. So, of course, that's something that you can't do in less than 29 and a half years of working on it. So as I say to my clients, what are you waiting for?
Right.
Because the minute we climb that grown-up ladder to success, and that's Saturn, where Saturn is located at the moment of our birth, The minute we climb that grown-up ladder to success, then down here we prosper in the material world. Saturn is the taskmaster of the universe. It doesn't let us get away with any kind of immaturity, not in our contract.
Uh-huh.
So it's nice to know that going in. This is all about knowledge is power. Many times, and this is what I found out when I was counseling, whether it be my children or my clients or just friends of mine, many times it's just a question of the soul being made consciously aware in this lifetime that it made a promise.
Yes.
Because it's just like I said, the soul, the indiscriminate soul has no real purpose in dealing with any of that. Now, conscious us do.
Uh-huh.
So the minute body and soul come together, in my mind, and start addressing their karmic history as they should together, that's when our worlds tend to get more joyful. It doesn't mean that, you know, our children aren't going to give us problems and, you know, the car isn't going to break down and we're not going to be late for work. But I think as a race, we tend to confuse joy with happiness. And they're two different things.
I agree. Well, I'm going to let you know something, Julie. I was born in a hospital, and they got the time wrong.
Oh, my. Jeez. Well,
so even if you were born at home, it still can go wrong.
That's the truth.
Yeah, my aunt, they came out and told my aunt, and then they what time I was born, and then they went and put something else down, almost an hour's difference.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so... And this is at a hospital. So, in D.C., what were they thinking?
Right.
Does that answer your question, Dara? It's fascinating, isn't it?
It is. It really is. I was wondering, is there any indication, like I've got a birthday coming up next month, September 16th, are there any insights that she might share for sort of what's coming?
Well, I think the type of astrology that I deal with, Julia, is more talking to your soul as far as getting your soul on the right path for this life. And I think if you were to read the book Cosmic Karma, if you would go onto the Llewellyn website and read the article I wrote, Cosmic Sense, Our Unconscious Connection to the Universe, the type of mundane astrology and electional astrology and predictive astrology is wonderful. And I think that's really, really important for people to get advice like that. My feeling with my workshops and my particular clients is that I don't believe they can begin that process till they understand where what their soul is here for. Then it makes that direction and that guidance so much more significant.
Yeah,
that makes sense. And I will tell you, it's tremendously readable. If I can understand it, anybody can understand it.
Well, I think what I've tried to do with the book is to what I did with the workshops and try to explain to people that. Yes, it is a science, but it's not rocket science. And because it is based in the fact that it is a science, mm-hmm. people tend to find it a little bit more believable and a lot less nebulous, a lot less ambiguous. They seem to understand it better.
Okay.
Nice. Well, I'll listen for the website. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Julia.
Take care, everyone.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Let me toss out my birthday and see if you can grab something.
Okay.
Okay?
Let's try it.
January 12th.
Okay.
1943.
Mm-hmm.
And through the process of, let me put it this way.
Do you know what kind of day you were born, Phyllis?
6/33/44.
And what, you were born in Washington, D.C.?
Absolutely. Right smack dab in the middle.
Okay, so I would assume, I'm not sitting at my computer now, but I would assume that you probably have a sixth house sun. I would assume that the sun had just gone down below the western horizon at about 6:40 in Washington, D.C. in January.
In the morning, right.
Yeah. 6:20. In January, the sun is down in Washington, D.C. by that time. So I'm assuming you have a sixth house sun. But if you log on to, shoot me an email tomorrow, I can do a chart for you as well just to find out. But this is what I tell all people who are born when the sun was moving through the sign of Capricorn. You're here to show the rest of us how to make it. You're here to show the rest of us how to scale those heights, how to reach the top, and unfortunately, you're always expected to do it by starting at the bottom, because what you're really here to show us is how to follow the rules, not manipulate them,
right,
up the rungs of organized structure to get to the top.
Yeah.
How to do it the right way.
Yeah.
And you know what's interesting about that? That's why you were born with a real knowledge of the inside track. You know how to make the system work, and unfortunately, most people with a Capricorn degree know how to work the system as well, and that's where we all have our challenges. We all have an opportunity to rise to the calling of our sun sign, or to you know skim the superficial surface of making it work for us.
Right.
And what you're here to do is to succeed. But
that's
you're
correct.
Also here. You earned, and as a result, you were instilled with something that the rest of us. Just as Julie was instilled with that ability to see flaws, you were here. You were instilled with that fire in your belly we call ambition.
Yes.
And a lot of us just don't have it.
Uh-huh.
But you do.
Uh-huh.
And now your only challenge in this lifetime is to make sure you use it wisely.
Absolutely. I have to agree with you on that because I do.
Okay.
And I also am a teacher, and it means I also feel very strongly and have always done this, that I cannot get there alone. I always have to help others get there with me.
Well, this takes us to the time of day you're born. That's your degree. Now, with if you have the sixth house sun, like I assume you do, you're here to, if it feels like you're here to be a workhorse and a slave to duty, that's only because you are.
No.
Okay? Yes. You're here to perform that tireless task that nobody else wants to do for the rest of us, for us. And you're here to do it with a smile on your face and to work for us, to make us shine through your efficiency. That's what you promised to do in this life. And I didn't say it's a glamorous calling, but you chose it. And the point is that when you're doing it, you're joyful.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter what it sounds like to me. If you really want your joy, that's where it lies.
Yes. Well, that's very true, because I have always taught from the time I was too small to know what teaching meant. But it's a passion of mine. And I've always helped others to get ahead, always.
Well, that's because your soul earned those great attributes in a previous life and then the universe before coming into this incarnation said, okay, so what do you want to do with that? And you chose door number six. You said, okay, this time I'm going to take a shot at being useful, being helpful.
Right.
And that's where your joy lies. Now, somebody else who does not have that placement would, rather have, maybe three wisdom teeth pulled rather than do that, but not you. That's where your joy lies.
We have someone else on the line. Welcome to the higher dimension.
Hello. Yes. Thank you.
Who is this?
Yes, Phyllis. My wife and I listen to your show all the time. We love you. We love you. Your laugh is just, it's infectious.
It is.
Thank you. How kind of you to say so. And with whom am I speaking?
My name is Jackson.
Hi, Jackson. I'm so glad. You've just made my heart smile real, real big.
Oh, well,
thank
I'm glad.
You.
But I was just listening tonight, and this cosmic karma kind of interests me. And I guess I was just wondering, based on the title of your book, it's Understanding Your Contract with the Universe, right?
That's correct.
Marguerite, I was just wondering, I guess exactly, how does the contract with the universe work?
Oh, that's a good question, Jackson. This is how your contract with the universe works. First of all, your contract is the birth energies that you were born under. So through your horoscope and your birth chart, I call that your contract, a physical copy of your contract. The real contract lies in the natal sky you were born under. That's a reflection, a celestial or universal documentation of your soul's contract with the universe for this incarnation, for this lifetime. And how that happens is your soul enters into the contract by choosing, prior to coming into this incarnation, exactly how and where it will strive to become a better human being once it arrives down here on planet Earth. The universe, for its part, chooses the exact birth energies that will provide your soul with all the skills, desires, and opportunities that are required to make that happen. Now, once this process is completed and your soul's earthly purpose is validated, think of it as a universal contract is established. This contract won't become effective, however, until the universe actually moves into those energies that were previously chosen and agreed to by your soul. The moment it does, your soul is, like I said before, is dispatched to report for physical duty in this lifetime by being born into the exact earthly environment that those energies the soul chose created in the natal sky, the environment of the natal sky. Which is exact. Now, when you think about that, and you think about why the ancient astronomers said our destiny was written in the stars, absolutely and universally, of course it is. That's a reflection of what we said we were going to do with this lifetime. And if we do it, it becomes our destiny. Living up to our destiny is always comes down to free choice, our choice. And that's what most people don't understand. Just because something is in the cards doesn't
right.
mean it's a given. We
right.
still have to work for it, and we were still made to override, preempt everything and override everything with that, what I call that ever-popular free will option in our contract. The one that gets us into trouble and the one that makes us shine. Does that answer your question, Jackson?
Yes, I definitely think it does. So what you're saying then is that each and every one of us isn't born randomly. It just seems that way, and that it's actually a very specific time that we're born.
Absolutely. And those energies, you know, I say we tend to look at it backwards. You would not go into, like, the CBS newsroom and say, okay, how many people here, there are 20 people in the newsroom, and say, how many people here have a journalism degree? And 19 out of 20 raise their hand. You would never turn to me, Jackson, and say, isn't that a coincidence?
Mm.
Why? Because that's why they're there. They were they learned journalism. They went to school for it. They had that ambition, and they chose this. So when we're looking at the day we were born, I think we look at it backwards.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at it as an accident. Actually, that's the end result. We're here for that reason because of everything our soul's been through, and it chose this.
Mm-hmm.
Wow,
so it isn't random. You're right, Jackson. That natal sky is just a reflection of what we... And, you know, it's funny, but we were physically born into those energies so that we'd have some kind of unconscious imprint
mm-hmm.
to guide us and direct us through this life. And I think that's why we think, oh, isn't it ironic, or isn't it a coincidence that we follow this path and that reflected in our birth energies, or that we have a liking for this or an inclination or a proclivity? It's not. We look at it backwards. We would never say that about anything physical down here on this planet. But just because we're looking at it from the opposite end, we find it to be a coincidence.
She's really got it down. I like the way you're explaining it.
Well, I think, thank you very much, Phyllis. I think that in this life or in this world, I think most people, I think we as a society are just so hung up on not finding the spirituality and everything, because we tend to put so much religion on spirituality, and
right.
religion is what's
yes.
happening in the Middle East. That's religion. Spirituality is our soul and our spirit.
It's how our
religion is how
relationship
we,
to ourselves.
Right. Religion is how we choose to practice
right.
our own spirituality,
right.
but
absolutely.
We are all spiritual beings on some mm-hmm. level. And I think if we, by addressing that issue in us and in our birth chart, it's more of a complete, it makes our lives more complete. This universe operates on intellectual level, on physical
yes.
level, on spiritual level. And if we constantly ignore the spiritual level of it, even just addressing it or trying to discuss it or
yeah.
find out about it, it's one whole level of the universe that we're not vibrating to.
Exactly. Does this help you, Jackson?
What's that?
But did that help you?
Oh, most definitely. So is this book, is it already out? Is it available in
yes.
stores or...
You can find it on Amazon.com. As a matter of fact, it's a very good price on Amazon.com. And it's in Borders, it's in Walmart, it's in Target. It's all over the place, Jackson. I appreciate you asking. Go on out and buy it. and then contact me on MarguerateManning.com and let me know how you liked it.
Oh, okay. So you have your own website?
Well, it'll be up very soon, in the next day or two.
Oh, great. Okay.
Thank you for your call, Jackson. I really appreciate it. And thank your wife, too. I hope you both keep listening to Phyllis and buying my book.
Absolutely. Count two sales right there. I just want to thank you. Thank you, Marguerite, and thank you, Phyllis.
You're
thank
welcome,
you.
Dear. God bless.
Bye.
Always happy to have people call in. It's nice to know I hear. Sometimes I wonder if anybody's out there breathing. You know?
I know. The anonymity, though, kind of makes it nicer if you think nobody's listening.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I like that old ad where they had this lady out there, and she was talking. She says, "Hello, is anybody out there?" I don't think anybody's out there. Sometimes I think I'm talking to myself. But, you know, I can read by myself. I can talk by myself. I just sit in front of a mirror and smile. Anyway.
That's all it takes, right?
Oh, it works. Well, I think this is wonderful. It's the way, as I said, the way you're explaining it brings it to a much more practical sense. And I have to agree with you with regard to religion and spirituality, because I think, unfortunately, religion was supposed to be spiritual, but I do think after a while, so many people try to put their own spin on certain concepts and ideas that they actually take away the spontaneity, the spark of the divine, of each of us touching God.
Right, and I believe in that wholeheartedly. And in the article I wrote for Llewellyn, that was what I said. One of the reasons that I just was so enamored with the ancient astronomers, because they, in their day, they were scientists. They were the creme de la creme of the minds in their day.
Earth and everything else.
And they believed that they were the first to understand that this universe does vibrate on three different levels. It vibrates. To them, everything had a mind, everything had a body, and everything had a soul.
Absolutely.
And we find that odd and strange today, but the soul, the level that it vibrates on the spiritual level, is our soul.
Exactly.
The body is what we vibrate on to on a physical level, and then what we vibrate on an intellectual level, of course, is our mind. So everything in this universe vibrates on those three levels. And I think religion is just one of the ways we practice our spirituality.
Exactly.
It's determined, but it does not, being spiritual has nothing to do with being religious.
Exactly. It's another ball game. Someone else has signed on.
Oh, good.
Hi, welcome.
Hi. Hi. Good evening. Hi, Marguerite. I've been listening to your discussion on your book. My name is Rachel.
What's your name?
Rachel.
Oh, Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
And actually, I was really excited to hear Jackson mentioning about your book, because I actually just purchased it last week. And
oh, good. Thank you very much.
I'm working
through it. Rachel? How do you like it?
I love it a lot, and I'm working through it. And perfectly enough, I was just reading about my son in Leo, because that's what I am. And I actually had a question about that.
Sure.
Because according to your book, I was born while the sun was in Leo, because my soul mastered the energies of this sign in a previous life.
Right.
Now, while that really resonates with me on some deeper level, does that mean that all people in this world who, like me, were born when the sun in Leo and have exactly the same past life experiences?
Well, no, and let me explain to you why. If you came out of college and you had a teaching degree, you would have so much in common with everyone else who had a teaching degree. Well, you could relate to them. There'd be a lot of commonalities. You could just finish each other's sentences. But no way would that reflect your entire life or who you were. You would not be identical people. But you share a common education.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you and every other Leo in this life, on this planet, have learned how to energize all of us to have confidence in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You've learned how to celebrate life, how to celebrate the creative powers of life. So you're here to show the rest of us how to express ourselves creatively, how to live life to the fullest, how to vibrate on a soul level, and you're here to teach us how to have confidence in ourselves the way you have confidence in you, Rachel. I'm sure you walk into you wake up every day thinking, how can I make this world a little sunnier? How can I make that person over there love me? And how can I make that person's life nicer? And I know to the rest of us that doesn't sound like a real person with actual gray matter, but that's the way most Leos operate. Their purpose in this life is to shine, to make our world a lot pleasanter place to be. Mm-hmm. And you're all very good at it, too. The world would be very dull and boring without you,
Leos. Yes, I agree.
Does that sound like you, Rachel?
It very much does so. You hit the nail on the head, and as I was reading it in the book, I just kept going, my goodness, it's just...
You have to remember one thing with a Leo degree, Rachel. You have to remember, as good as you are at that, and there's no one better, you're here to teach us how to do it for ourselves. You're not here to tie us to you, to get it from you. So if we want the sun, we've got to learn how to shine on our own. We can't just gravitate around you. And that doesn't sound like much, but to most Leos, that's difficult, because you love people orbiting you.
Yes, and I've seen that. I've seen that with Leos.
But they're so good at it. Who can blame them? You know?
Yeah. They got to be the sun around.
I'm married to a Leo, Rachel, and I don't know what I'd do without him, actually, because of that. So it's a great, as much as you think sometimes that, this person is just really, really so confident, it's just, hard to understand. But you have just as much, I will bet you, Rachel, you have just as much confidence in your best friends and your husband or your boyfriend, or you have just as much confidence and willingness to make things work for them as you do for yourself. And that's rare.
Hmm.
That's why we need Leos.
It's almost like you know me. It's really strange. But it's
I think
so...
I might know you. I think I might know you. If you have a Leo degree, I know you pretty well.
Yeah. Now, actually, also, I just heard that you also, I guess, your website will be launching soon?
Oh, in the next day or two. It's just in the finishing touches, yes. So it should be www.marguerite-manning.com. And log on and send me an email when you're finished with the book, or if you have any questions, let me know what you think. I have workshops on karmic astrology for people who have a mind that they would like to do that type of thing and learn more about their own particular birth energies and go more in depth with their chart. The book is a real good stepping stone to launch into that, to find out if it's something that suits you or if it, like you said, Rachel, if it resonates with you. And it started, that's how it started for me, when the success with my children and with my clients and with my friends, that was so immediate that, and like I said, it's not as if, you know, the minute you start reconciling your karmic history in the harsh light of today that, you know, you start hearing angels and bells. And not unless, of course, you're hearing those angels and bells now. Then you're not going to hear those. But your life does seem to, you know, the flow gets better. Life seems to start moving your way. And like I said, you know, the car still breaks down and you still have a fight with your husband, but there's joy in your life because you're living up to your birth energies or your soul's energies, your spiritual energies.
Wow. Well, I'm really excited to finish, you know, get through to the end of the book. I mean, I had just perfectly read that part and thought I'd ask you on it. So I appreciate your time and all the answers that you've given.
Thank you so much, Rachel. I really appreciate your calling in.
Yeah, of course. Thanks again. I look forward to sending you an email on your website when it launches.
Great.
Soon, so.
I look forward to hearing from you.
All right. Thank you. Have a wonderful evening.
Nobody ever
has
too many Leos in their life.
Yeah. I have one I'm taking out to dinner, brunch on Sunday. Her
Good
birthday
for you.
Is Saturday.
Good for you.
And she's a real nice lady.
Treat her well.
Well, I do. I just
Good.
Finished dog
she,
sitting
she
for
demand,
her.
She would demand nothing less from you, Phyllis.
I that's true, too. But she's a nice lady.
Yes.
At any rate, I think this is absolutely fabulous. So do you also do, what about the spiritual aspect of the United States? Now, we, our mentors, our forefathers, whatever, were very spiritual people.
That's another issue that that's another thing that I take issue with today, that we're not even allowed to wish each other a Merry Christmas or talk about God. And I tell you, if somebody wished me a happy Kwanzaa, the last thing I would do would be offended. I would be thrilled.
Exactly.
And say, well, you know, that's one happier thing that somebody wished me in my life. You know, I think the political correctness of this country has just sucked the spirit out of everything.
Yeah.
Because, you know, not too long ago, on Oprah's show, she had been talking, a couple of years ago, she had this segment, I think it was Living with Spirit or Working with Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And she even talked about on her show how she got more calls from people saying, how dare she?
What?
How dare she be feel so full of herself that she could feel that she was just some kind of spiritual mentor, because she spoke about her spirit on the show.
Of course.
And I thought, this is, you know, we deserve the world we get if this is the way we look at it, if we can't even address the spiritual end of who we are.
Well, we were based on spiritual principles.
Exactly.
That's how this country was started.
Exactly. And, you know, that's how we came into it as a spirit. Long before we came into it as physical cells, we came into it as a spirit. And
I agree.
By refusing to address a certain part of us, what does that say about us? We deserve the society we get.
Well, I'm working my little tailbone off to make sure it's a much better society.
See, that's just it.
I deserve better.
That's just it. That's I agree. And, you know, I also agree that spirit attracts spirit. And, you know, there will always, and this is what I tell my clients and the people in my life, to think that if you're spiritual, nothing bad is going to happen. There's good in this world and there's evil in this world. That will always be the case. It will always be.
Yeah.
But we have a much better shot at getting through it. Yeah. The spiritual aspect of, you know,
and
if we have our spirit.
What we desire and
deflecting
what we don't desire.
Exactly.
We have another person,
I
think.
Oh, wow, good.
Welcome.
Hi, Marguerite. This is Anne.
Hello, Anne. How are you?
I'm great. And I got to tell you, I'm a fan of yours, and I haven't even read your book yet. So.
Well, go out there and read it. Much then they can really like
me. Well, I've ordered it on Amazon, and I haven't gotten it yet. But the reason I'm calling, I'm going to switch gears a little bit, is because I want to talk about your article on the Llewellyn website, because I did read that.
Oh, okay. Cosmic Sense.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I have a question for you about
sure.
it. And I was hoping, this might sound really remedial. I'm sorry if it does. But
No. Go ahead.
You talk in the article about how, you know, we're happiest when our soul is fulfilling its earthly destiny.
Right.
Okay, but then you go on to mention that, you know, our fate isn't written in the stars and it's not predetermined. And I guess my question is, how do you succeed in fulfilling your earthly destiny if that destiny isn't predetermined? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, Anne, and it's a good question. And I think in this day and age, we tend to use the word fate and destiny to mean mm-hmm. the same thing. And we mm-hmm. tend to look at them. We don't tend to live up to what it really means. I look at it this way: your destiny is something that is in your birth energies. It's in the cards. It's planned. You've earned it. You've paid for it. It would be as if you had a ticket to San Diego on the plane. The
right.
ticket, the seat is yours. The ticket is paid for, but you have to show up to the airport and you
right.
have to get on the flight. If you choose not to, guess who's not, you're destined now to go to San Diego,
mm-hmm.
but if you don't get on that flight, guess who's not going?
Right.
And that's the difference between fate and destiny. Destiny is something that you can live up to. It's there. It's ready for you. It's waiting for you. Destiny waits for you. It's not fated. It's not absolute. It's up to you because of the free will option in
yes.
your contract.
Okay.
So you can get on that plane and you can get to San Diego, and then those are the people that do live up to their birth energy. So it seems as if, wow, they're so lucky because they're living up to their destiny. The universe has made the reservation. It's paid for the ticket, and it says, okay, you get there. And you could say, well, you know what? There was traffic. I couldn't get there. Well, you could have left earlier. Well, my bags weren't packed. Well, you could have packed your bags. Well, you know what? My daughter was sick. Well, you could have made other arrangements. It's still your choice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what destiny is. We have a destiny, every one of us. Have a destiny that we came into this life with something that we said we were going to do,
mm-hmm.
and our destiny is the result of what happens to us when we do it on this planet. We'll never get there if we don't do what we said we were going to do.
And, you know, I think that's a really important distinction, too, and I think it's one that a lot of people don't understand. I know I didn't at first, and I really that resonates with me, those insights. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
You're
and
very
I
welcome, Anne.
For you, too. Do you do any, like, personal readings or anything like that?
Yes, I do. Spiritual readings, yes, I do. And you know what, Anne? Visit my website after it's up in the next day or two.
Okay.
And you can get more information on that there. But I'd love hearing from you and see how you like the book. I love any kind of feedback, and it gives me an opportunity to answer any questions that were left, you know, that weren't answered, and especially with the next book. Then I'll know what to address, what people like.
I definitely will. And I know you said it was MargueriteManning.com. Could you just spell Marguerite?
Sure. That's MarguerIte.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for calling in, Ann, really. And get back to me.
Okay. I definitely will. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, we are hopping tonight.
Oh.
I think this is fabulous.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Created the right mix and blend, I think. I think it's fabulous.
Well, I really appreciate you having me on the show because this is my first book, and I do want to reach as many people as I can with the message on it, and I really appreciate you having me on tonight.
Oh.
Your show is just such a spiritual show. It was absolutely one of the places that I did want to talk about it.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, how kind of you to say so. You know, I've been thinking, and people have been telling me to write a book for years, and I just, do I really want to work that hard?
it's a process, but you know, when it's finished, it's very rewarding. And fortunately for me, it was one of those things where I've been doing it, believe it or not, for 10 years. And
I can believe
while I raised my family,
yes.
It was never the priority. It was something
right.
that I did during the course of raising my family. And
right.
so it doesn't feel like I made a whole lot of sacrifices for it. But now it is, now it has come to the front burner. And, you know, if I look at my birth energies, that's exactly the way it was supposed to be done.
How
I was supposed
beautiful.
To focus on my family and, in the meantime, not stress out over this. Now it's my turn to stress out over this. Where are those kids when you need them?
somebody told me that giving birth to a book is like giving birth to a child.
Well, not quite. It's more like a root canal. Giving birth to a child is a whole other ballgame.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, I've given birth to children, and I've had a root canal, and I
put them together, and that's kind of like what
but not
is.
At the same time.
Right, which is, yeah, that's very, you're blessed if you haven't been able to do that at the same time.
Oh, good. And I'd like you to just continue on with some of your thoughts, because I wholeheartedly agree with many of them, it's nice to have, as I told you, there'd be this kind of rapport that is built, because it's important to me that we be encouraging each other along this pathway. And to me, there are so many different paths leading to the same heaven,
right?
And which is why I call the company Multiple Pathways.
Right, and I say I had a very wise aunt who was my spiritual mentor in so many ways, and
mm-hmm.
she was the one that made it very, very clear that you know our conscious level, our own consciousness is what draws us to
right.
what we have in this world.
Right,
and this is more of a scientific approach
right.
than most people give it credit for. If the
yes.
universal laws of nature.
Yeah.
State that the collective consciousness is there for all of us. It's
absolutely.
Abundant. In my book, I call it the cosmos, but, you know, some
right.
people call it the collective consciousness or the universal mind.
Think.
But unfortunately, we're only able to access it through the spirit of our soul. So until we can, use those spiritual muscles and become more spiritual, that's when we have the abundance, the knowledge,
mm-hmm.
the energy
mm-hmm.
to do whatever we want to do. And, you know, when it ties in scientifically, when you think of it,
mm-hmm.
I think it was Einstein that said if we used one tenth more of our brain
right.
we could get places by willing it. Well, that's, you know, most people believe that
yes.
spirituality is the highest form of intellect. When we can be
it
spiritual,
is.
We're using our intellect to its highest degree.
And that's when you also expand your consciousness
exactly.
to it's understand a, things that were considered mysteries and unknowable and unreachable by mind.
Exactly.
And I say we are only confined by what we think we are.
Right. And the universal laws of nature state that. They state that, and when people say, well, you know, karma is in, you know, karma is voodoo or reincarnation.
No.
That's
no.
the universal law of compensation.
Right.
It's the spiritual version of cause and effect. What you put
right.
out comes
receive.
Back. It has to. Not because God's punishing you.
But that's the law.
Because that's how the divine energy in the universe stays balanced.
Exactly.
What goes around must come around because the universe is constantly, it's a divine universe of divine
yes.
energy, so it's constantly balancing itself.
Absolutely. And we have, I think, another caller.
Oh, good.
Welcome.
Hello. Good evening, Phyllis. My name is Eric.
Harry?
I'm one of those people that's out here breathing still. I heard the comment a little earlier that you weren't sure if anybody was out here breathing.
So we do have breathers.
There are a few of us still out here, but... I wanted to call out a comment and a question, if I might, for Marguerite.
Certainly.
It's ironic. I just read her book, and I found it to be very easy, very interesting read for myself as being someone that didn't really have much faith in the traditional way astrology is portrayed as far as being predictive, and I think it was something Marguerite said earlier about it, you know, being predictive. But I found it very interesting, and I liked the way she tied in the spiritual piece of it. But I did have a question about that. You know, I understand what she's saying from the, you know, having a karmic degree and your karmic calling. But I wonder if Marguerite, if you could speak a little bit about more about your karmic debt. That was something I wasn't really able to get my mind around.
Okay, thanks, Eric. That's a really good question. One of the points in the soul's contractual clauses, if you will, before coming into this incarnation, the soul gets to choose. The soul has to address something it took in a previous life on a very selfish level, depleted, and has to replace it in this level on this life on a more universal level. In other words, it has to replenish what it depleted, but it can't give it back to your mother or your sister. It's got to be to the masses, to the universe in general, to society in general. So your karmic debt is where you in this life have promised to pay the universe back,
mm-hmm.
pay it back in whole. And it's usually an emotional debt. It's not a physical one. It's usually an emotional tour of duty, your karmic debt. And that's Neptune. wherever Neptune is in your chart is where you is your karmic marker where you have agreed to pay the universe back for something you selfishly depleted in a previous life. And it's usually where you're paying through the emotions, making some kind of sacrifice or performing some kind of emotional service to someone else. And when we don't, the universe, and again, it's not as if we're being punished. When we don't, we promise to pay in this manner and in this respect. So if we choose to ignore that universal marker, guess what? The universe keeps throwing, well, I like to call it the universal 2x4. We keep whacking us over the head until we turn around and it's saying,
I got a headache and I'll do it.
The universe is unlimited in its ability to remind us of our promises and just giving us another opportunity. It's helping us, by the way, giving us another opportunity to pay this debt. So we can either serve or we can suffer. Either way, the universe gets paid. The emotional debt gets paid. So if we choose to ignore this debt, Eric, then all of a sudden we find ourselves suffering in some way. If we pay it back, we don't. And that's very, very easy to do once, it's very easy to address once you realize that.
Can that be something we carry with us from life to life?
No, it's something that you, particularly from the last life, it was in, just say in this particular life, Eric, you went through college and wasted all of your father's money, and as a result, your sisters and brothers couldn't go to school, so now, you come back into the next life, and this was what you chose to do, provide other people with a way to get an education, because you selfishly, in a previous life, kept people from getting one. So now in this life, you might set up charitable institutions or tutor kids that are in college. But this is what you do to repay the universe for where you selfishly depleted in a previous life. And there's a variety of ways it can be done. It's not exactly that it's got to be hard and fast one way. It's really the spirit of paying back to the universe.
Right.
Showing that you're emotionally willing to have compassion for someone else or something else in an area where you weren't before. What goes around comes around. So it's not as if you're being punished. And I say this, I think I've said it before on the air, but I said it to my children all the time when they were growing up. I used to tell them it would be very much like if I was at the kitchen at my stove and I left and I told small children, okay, now don't touch that stove when it's hot or it'll burn you. And I walk out of the room. If my child touches the stove and it gets burned, does it accuse me of punishing it? It wasn't paying attention to the rules. It had nothing to do. I come in, I wasn't punishing anybody. And this is what universal law is. The universal laws are there for us to prosper in this universe, to get along, to not get our hands burned. And when we don't follow them, that's not punishment from God or even from the cosmos. That's just universal law. It's just the way that it is. That's our chaos that we've created. This universe is divinely ordered. When we don't vibrate to the universal law, we create chaos. And that chaos ends up being our karma.
Marguerite, what advice would you give on how you could investigate where your karmic debt might lie? How would you go
Your karmic debt, Eric, your karmic debt is, you have a birth chart. Your karmic debt is to find out what particular house, if you've gone online, as I say in my book, and gotten a birth chart. If not, you can shoot me an email and I'll send you a birth chart. But to find out what house Neptune...
Well, I do know what house. My Neptune is in the second house.
Okay. Well, then I wasn't all that far off with the money there, Eric.
Oh.
What that tells me is that in a previous life, you either kept people from enjoying the material comforts because you squandered away the money, or you carelessly wasted them. So now in this life, you have promised to give other people an opportunity to help them appreciate the creature comforts in life, to help them enjoy material and financial prosperity. And when you do, so my feeling is anybody I come across that has a second house karmic debt, I would say give to the charities. You will find out when you give from a compassionate place in your heart, whether it's financial, whether it's putting a roof over somebody's head, whether it's inviting someone to live with you, whether it's turning around and buying a really nice thing for them that you thought they had, a physical material thing, it comes back to you tenfold. And that's the neat part about Neptune in the second house. When you have Neptune in the second house, you almost feel very fortunate sometimes with money, that it comes back to you in a divine way when you didn't expect it. Would you say that's true?
Well, from your mouth.
But it can also leave you in that same way, because that's when you're being universally reminded that you're not living up to that conduct. When you're living, when things come to you in almost a very fortunate way or a serendipitous way, that's when you know you're paying back to that second house Neptune big time.
Yeah, you're in harmony with your the highest ideals.
Right. When you find yourself having to file for bankruptcy, or, you know, somebody, you lost $500, it fell out of your wallet, the universe is getting paid, Eric, because you didn't step up and do your thing.
Right.
So it all comes down to cold, hard cash with the second house Neptune, unfortunately, or a roof over your head. It's the material creature comforts that in some time in a previous life you either wasted them, or you kept others from, or, you know, many times you might have been in a position where you told others they shouldn't have them because you were just, thought you were in a higher-minded place. I would have to see all the things that were going on in your chart. But that's usually where you depleted, you kept others from experiencing the wealth of the material comfort. And it could have been, you know, you could have been a cleric that took a vow of poverty.
You know what? You just read my mind, because I was getting very strongly that he was indeed a cleric. And
something like that.
Telling people.
He kept other people from saying, you know,
money is the root of all evil.
Exactly.
You know, yeah, and they can't enjoy it. And so people did without. Because of the, and that's what I was picking up.
Right, and you know, and that's not the way this universe is supposed to work. We're not supposed to set. We're supposed to all prosper.
Right.
There's not supposed to be a sacrifice where we hurt.
Exactly.
It's supposed to be where we give. You know, and that's different. So does that resonate with you on any level, Eric?
Yes, absolutely. I find it very interesting, and unfortunately, every time something resonates with me, it begets more questions. So that
well, that's good. But
well,
see,
yeah.
that's excellent.
What I like about the book is it's kind of like a nice little reference book. I just keep going back and reading certain, you know, paragraphs over again, just so I kind of.
Do you have children, Eric?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I would suggest this: if you want a good laugh and a lot of sleepless nights, go to the book and find out where their Saturn is, and then you can see what they think of you. But what's very interesting about that, before you do that, Eric, keep in mind your children chose you for that lesson.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a real good disclaimer for me. Once I realized my children are sick of hearing it, but once I realized that they're going to end up on a shrink's couch for 2 years just on me, I can be the kind of mother I think I should be.
Well, that's what I think I like about this book, just having read it the first time, is it can provide that insight to be like a compass for you, you know, just kind of staying on the path you want to stay on.
Exactly.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Eric. Thank you.
I think do we have another person? Hello? Nope, that's a warning sign that we've come to the end of our journey.
Oh, it went far too fast, Phyllis.
Huh?
It went way too fast.
It did. Didn't it? Look at that. My goodness. Well, I will speak to you tomorrow, young lady.
Okay.
Because I would love to. I always like to say that talk the day after.
That's the Capricorn in you saying that. You know that, don't you?
But at any rate, I'm Phyllis Pricer with the Higher Dimension, and our guest this evening has been Marguerite Manning. And Marguerite, I'd like to take this opportunity to invite you to come back on again.
I would love to.
Not too distant future, and I think our customers, I can't think of the word, our listeners would love an opportunity to talk to you some more. And so I offer that invitation now. And thank you all. And again, let them know where they can contact you.
They can contact me at www.marguerite-manning.com, and they can buy the book Cosmic Karma on Amazon and Borders or Walmart, Target, but it's on Amazon now, and they can have it to you in 2 days. I went to my Borders here, and they were out of the copies that they had, and they're ordering more. So the bookstores do carry them, but they might be out of them.
That's wonderful. At any rate, again, I'm Phyllis Pricer, and I'm so glad that you were with us this evening. And next week, I'm going to have Carol May of the Lotus Grid. She's also called the Angel Lady, and she's from Florida, so we're looking forward to hearing her. Again, you can reach me through bbsradio.com, or you can contact me at www.multiplepathwaysinc.com, or on my email at psychicworlds4@aol.com. Thank you all for listening, and Marguerite, I will be chatting with you. Thank you God bless you all.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye now.